have an opportunity to add some capability to the cabinet.
People who date sometimes are fearful to even say anything because they think that what they say does not matter.
The Florida National Guard has the opportunity to bring out some of our equipment, some of our soldiers and airmen who serve the state, and to kind of just showcase them to the public here in Tallahassee.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, the office of Florida's lieutenant governor may soon be dissolved. Tristan Wood reports state lawmakers are pushing for a constitutional amendment to instead create a newly elected cabinet position called the Commissioner of Government Efficiency.
The new commissioner would be responsible for investigating and reporting on fraud, waste, and abuse in the state government. The position would also be the head of the state's departments of law enforcement, veterans affairs, and highway safety and motor vehicles.
We bring this amendment proposal forward in the spirit of the national conversation that is going on right now about reducing the size and scope of government, creating more efficiencies in our government operations, making sure that our citizens are well served and that their taxpayer dollars are well spent.
Merritt Island Republican Representative Tyler Sirois says the push nationally from the Trump administration with its Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, inspired the proposal. He also believes the current vacancy in the lieutenant governor position creates a smooth transition for the change.
You know, we have an opportunity to kind of take a look at holistically the different branches of our government. We have an opportunity to add some capability to the cabinet, maybe do a little bit of restructuring, which we've done before throughout Florida history. So this is nothing, you know, really out of the ordinary or anything to get your hair on fire about.
But North Miami Democratic Representative Dottie Joseph is concerned the new position isn't well fleshed out. She says details like how much it would cost and how it would function remain unclear.
This has the possibility of making government bigger rather than smaller. That concerns me. And it's interesting to be saying that as a Democrat, but I'm saying it out here. We don't have an analysis of what the impact would be financially of this new Florida DOGE. That's problematic. I know we're going to get there, but it seems like a lot of concepts of a thing without the substance of a thing. And without that substance, it almost feels a little irresponsible.
If the legislature approves it this session, 60% of Florida voters would have to support it during the 2026 general election. If that happens, Florida voters would have the automatic option to reverse course with a referendum on the change in 2044. I'm Tristan Wood.
A bill that would give victims of dating violence access to the same protections as victims of domestic violence is getting a positive reception in the legislature. We get more on that story from Margie Menzel.
This bill was born out of necessity, but also experience.
Amy Trask is a survivor.
I remember coming to peace with that realization as I shielded my baby, and I remember the years of physical and emotional recovery that I had to tread subsequently as a result.
Domestic violence applies to people who are living together, regardless of their dating or marital status, or who have a child together. Dating violence is harm from a romantic partner that can include verbal, emotional, physical, or sexual abuse, and can apply to first dates or long-term relationships. Currently, Trask says, victims of dating violence face gaps in the law that victims of domestic violence do not.
Gaps that prevent them from accessing critical life-saving resources like the Attorney General's Address Confidentiality Program. By aligning these definitions, we're ensuring that survivors are treated with the same dignity and respect, because fear and abuse do not wear different labels, and neither should our laws.
A bill now moving through the legislature would open access to the Attorney General's Address Confidentiality Program to victims of dating violence. That would allow those victims to obtain and use a substitute address, as victims of domestic violence can now. It's an important change, Trask says.
The courage that it takes for a victim to seek help is nothing short of extraordinary. We owe it to them to ensure that when they take that big step, the system they turn to is ready, equitable, and unwavering in its support.
The bill would also task the State Department of Management Services with developing a system of law enforcement databases that could communicate with victims. It would allow them to send emergency messages discreetly, for instance, or communicate their location without alerting an abusive partner who has just grabbed the phone. Trask says currently, dating and domestic violence are underreported.
For the Florida Department of Law Enforcement's most recently reported year in 2020, Florida saw over 106,615 cases of domestic violence. We know that only about half of these cases are actually reported, and we've seen nothing but an increase in these cases per the Florida Department of Health.
The bill also includes the requirement of a feasibility study for the relevant technology. Trask said she and others have met with FDLE and their tech experts, and everyone has acknowledged that this is, quote, totally doable. But they must be sure it will work the first time. Tampa Democratic Representative Diane Hart says she'll co-sponsor the measure with Gainesville Democratic Representative Yvonne Hayes Henson.
People who date sometimes are fearful to even say anything because they think that what they say does not matter and that nobody cares because you're just dating. So that's not really a husband or, you know, but that date. And it could be just one date. Could be very, very dangerous. So thank you so much for this piece of legislation. I believe we're all looking forward to voting up on it, and I will be signing up to co-sponsor.
Palm Beach Democratic Senator Lori Berman is the bill's Senate sponsor. I'm Margie Menzel.
While acknowledging that teens need more sleep, Florida senators today continued moving forward with a bill that would repeal requirements aimed at later daily start times in many high schools. A Senate committee voted 8-1 to approve a measure that would eliminate start time requirements scheduled to take effect next year. Lawmakers back in 2023 approved the requirements, citing a need for older students to get more sleep. But as the deadline is neared, many school districts have said they're struggling to comply because of issues such as needing to buy buses and find bus drivers. Senator Jennifer Bradley is the bill sponsor.
The feedback is overwhelming. A state mandate on school start times would present incredible challenges financially and otherwise.
Under the 2023 law, high schools could not start earlier than 8:30 in the morning, and middle schools could not start earlier than 8 o'clock, though the issue centers on high schools. Senators cited research today about the benefits of teens getting more sleep with later start times, but they also described the issue as deciding between research and resources. Finally tonight, the Florida legislature is making a push to increase certain benefits for members of the state and National Guard. Adrian Andrews was at the Capitol today, where the legislative body celebrated National Guard Appreciation Day.
Music from the 13th Army Band rained out over the Capitol courtyard Tuesday. The band played as their fellow guardsmen showcased some of their various training techniques and equipment to dozens of onlookers. The National Guard's Senior Public Affairs Officer, Lieutenant Colonel Caitlin Brown, says the event helps keep the state's military top of mind for the legislature during session.
National Guard Day at the Capitol is an annual event where the Florida National Guard has the opportunity to bring out some of our equipment, some of our soldiers and airmen who serve the state, and to kind of just showcase them to the public here in Tallahassee. Also an opportunity for us to meet with legislators and show them what we do and to thank them for their continued support.
As the celebration continued out on the courtyard, lawmakers inside were taking up bills that would extend the state's military tuition assistance program. Kissimmee's Democratic Senator Kristen Arrington is the bill's sponsor.
SB 336 expands the current Florida National Guard's educational Dollars for Duty program to include spouses and children of active members of the Guard.
The educational Dollars for Duty program cover the cost of a bachelor's and master's degree of enlisted guardsmen. Arrington's bill would require the Department of Military Affairs to pay up to half of the tuition for the spouse and children of an active service member.
The bill sets aside $500,000 of funds appropriated for the education program each fiscal year to provide tuition assistance for spouses and children of active members of the Florida National Guard.
The bill received favorable support in its committee, along with two other military-related bills. Fort Myers Republican Senator Jonathan Martin wants to give members of the Florida State Guard the same benefits that most National Guardsmen and active duty soldiers receive, including leave of absence from work, college scholarships, and discounted rates at state parks.
Florida State Guard is in support of this bill package. It creates benefits dedicated to the members of the Florida State Guard by offering leaves of absence for members of the Florida State Guard, scholarships for those who meet eligibility requirements.
And the panel of lawmakers gave their okay to a bill that would make it a third-degree felony for a person who has never been in the military to fraudulently wear a military uniform. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance from Taylor Cox. I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.